All right. That's great. I'm going to play that start the show out. This is the pre-show, and it's great to see you. What we got going on here, man? Is the ocean not moving? The ocean has to move. Is it about time we got some new ocean beer? Some new ocean B-roll? Okay, quick post-mortem on yesterday's show. Loved it. Tonight we're going to be at the... here are these fucking guys. Who's this one guy, man? Oh, I can't. I was just looking at some of the... there's some MMA shit happening on TV right now, and I was looking at a couple of these guys that are promoting their bouts. All right, not that I'm big into that shit. See, you know, because in my opinion, the next logical step is to just kill the guy in the ring, which may be fantastic. I don't know. I'm not necessarily against that.
Me love it.
What we got going on here, man? So, new moving archives. Very interesting. Art, music. This is the internet. One of my favorite things in this world is this internet archive, which sharing personal information on the site is not advised. The site may be vulnerable. Okay, gotcha. AVG reminding or, you know, telling me. Anyway, television archive. It's just got interesting shit. What's the Prelinger archives? Very whack. Prelinger archives is just fucking weird. Breathtakers, babies and breadwinners, all kinds of weird public domain, public service stuff. Like, for instance, general health habits. What in Christ is this shit? All right. Is this like from the turn of the century or something? Let me get this thing. What's going on here, man? This is shit. This is a silent movie. Obviously. I got a cat in here. There's a cat creeping around in here. Check this out, man. What am I doing? I'm gonna film this. Do this again. Hold on. Oh God.
Me love it. Isn't that... That's a lovely song, Phil.
I think it is, yes. All right. Just going to do a little... I don't know what I'm going to do here. Just... All right, that's enough of that. It's just... and plus, for those of you that are listening to the pre-show audio only, what I was just doing, when I cut out a lot of dead air, what I was just doing was rolling some DVR, some imagery to use in the background of... my thing, man. You know. So that it will check it out, man. It's gonna look like this, you know. And this So it'll look like this. Looks pretty weird, but it's I'm gonna change up shit. What would be cool in this, like I say, in this window, because it looks like a window, right? So, okay, yeah, it goes, oh, because there's a, obviously that is a, it's a public service film from the silent era, which would put it anywhere from, you know, from 1928, 27, further back. Maybe it's World War I, I don't know. Maybe earlier. But obviously it was something that they showed in the theaters before they ran the main feature, whatever it would be. Now, what the fuck is this, man? Get out of here, man. God damn it. Come on, bitch. It's fucking really pissing me off. What's with Fox Sports? I don't understand that channel. I don't understand any of your fucked up regional channels, Fox. Pisses me off. All right. Okay, so we'll do a little editing on that. Miami Marlins. Oh, that's a much better looking uniform. And better that they identify with the city rather than the state, you know. Didn't see any team out of Tampa calling themselves Florida. You know, I don't see anybody out of Orlando calling themselves Florida. Only Miami. They're forced to be like the Florida play, you know. Everybody else won't do it. I don't think they should do it. I just don't think that's right. I don't know whether I like this or not. But anyway, that's kind of that, man. Like, I always do this, you know. It's down the net. Maybe that's better. I don't know. It looks kind of cheesy. It's meaningless. Meaningless shit. What I want to do is get some news here and see what's up. News. Find out what's going on. The world, man. The world. Sandra Blonde told jailers she was depressed, attempted suicide before. Yeah, okay, whatever. I don't even get into this shit, man. Can you hear me now? Graham smashes cell phone after Trump outs number. Somebody ought to out that motherfucking Trump's number. Most people just toss their old selves to the junk. They're not Lindsey Graham, a South Carolina senator and GOP responding with a drama, giving out for them with a dramatic 1-minute video title. How to destroy your cell phone, Lindsey Graham, as the title implies. The video shows the senator mercilessly destroying the phone. Set to classic music, Graham blends, beats, drops, chops, and throws an old mobile to death. He lights it on fire, shreds it in a blender, he drops it off the roof. You get the idea. He ends with a kicker.
So you know Fox News is America's election headquarters.
Yeah.
Donald Trump today remains defiant.
Well, why don't you shut the...
Thank you.
Fuck off, bitch. That's about a 23rd. Okay. Remains defiant. Trump's in first on the GOP side. You love it. Lindsey Graham ain't going to be president of the United States. Donald Trump is going to be president of the United States. But Rick Perry said something today that was very, very cogent. It was spot on. He said that there's a risk that the Republican Party is going to go the way of the Whig Party. In 1854, the Whig Party was a wishy-washy version of what the Republicans eventually became. There was a wing of the Whig Party that really wanted to take a stand on slavery. They really wanted to take a stand on federalism. They wanted to take a stand on, you know, a lot of stuff. By the way, for those of our friends here who are constantly talking about how it was the Republicans that got rid of slavery, it was the Republicans through a Republican president that absolutely trumpeted federalism. and the subservience of states' rights to the rights of the federal government. Now, what do you think about that? Because that's how Lincoln did that. That's what Lincoln championed. That's what Lincoln wanted, you know, the Constitution over the rights of the individual states. So you can't, you know, if you want to embrace the Republican Party as it was in the Civil War, then you got to embrace what it was in the Civil War, man, a Federalist Party. And I think that, I've got to be honest with you, man, I think that just goes right over the heads of most of these fucking morons. You know, so anyway, Perry said that they run the risk of becoming the Whig Party. The Whig Party went the way of the dinosaur in the 1850s because they didn't really want to take a stand one way or another on the states' rights issue. They didn't really want to take a stand one way or the other. While they were opposed to slavery, they weren't really sure how they felt about the abolition of slavery, what the federal, what their stance would be in terms of how a government or governments might act against it. So they were really just a sort of nothing party. The Democrats were very motivated. The Democrats believed in the rights of the states. They believed in the right of the slave owners. They believed in the preeminence of state rights, the states' rights over the rights of the government in Washington. And so, you know, you had a pretty motivated party there. And the only and the Republicans came about probably just in time to head that off. I shouldn't say just in time, because they couldn't avoid war. They wanted to, but they couldn't. Had the Whigs gotten their shit together earlier and become the Republican Party sooner, there might have been a showdown more in the halls of Congress than on the field of battle. And there might have been a chance to avoid war. But as it was, there was no chance to avoid war, but they did come out of the creation of this party with a very strong party leader in Abraham Lincoln. I mean, the first Republican president was a motherfucker. He was a motherfucker. He was a badass. And he was a Federalist. He championed the Transcontinental Railroad. Abraham Lincoln believed first and foremost in the power of the Constitution of the United States. So if you want to start yapping about fucking, some of these people yap about how it was the Republicans that got rid of slavery. They did it with a Federalist president with a very strong Federalist view, which the Republican Party today doesn't want to have nothing to do with, man. They are a Tea Party party. They are a, you know, states' rights party. They're the activist judges in the Supreme Court are destroying the country, blah, 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 fucking blah. Okay, so what do you, you know, it's as specious a thing as you can possibly find. All right. Fuck all that. I wonder if there's a way we could have Herb Sewell just...
And Larry's like this.
And, well, Herb Sewell talks like this, you see.
Well, this ought to be great, a jailbird, some pervert.
Well, you can call me a pervert, but you see...
What are you talking about?
I'm saying to you... That might be not a bad idea. Herb Sewell versus Larry Grover. For just a minute, I'll be right back. (clears throat) Can you hear me now? Okay. We'll have Herb and Larry go back. I don't know if that's all that interesting. I think that's kind of boring, to be honest with you. Might be better if Larry just gets befuddled by, Mavis. Big day tomorrow. No, actually, big day today. Going to be going to podcast one for The Science of the Funny, which is with Will Sasso, Creed Bratton from The Office, and Taylor Williamson, a great young stand-up comic. And that's today. And that will be probably 2 weeks after. In 2 weeks, that'll drop. Today dropping is good friends Matt Besser from UCB, Horatio Sanz, also one of the founders of UCB and a Saturday Night Live actor and, as they call them, alum, and David Nuzzy Nuzbaum, producer and writer, and now bringing the holographic image to the stages of America. So that ought to be kind of an interesting thing to hear. It was a lot of fun. We got done editing it about 2 days ago, and Horatio and Matt, their take on improv and the history of improv and how they came up through it. Plus, you know, Dave giving his ideas on how to turn that all into a holographic thing. And David himself is a good guy to have. Also asking a few questions. Plus, he's got a background in radio as a member of the Howard Stern Fan Network. So that'll be interesting listening to some of his experiences doing that. So that's dropping today. And then in a week, we will have Karen Kilgariff, along with Derek Waters, who's the producer and creator of Drunk History, along with the hosts of Throwing Shade, Brian Safi and Aaron Gibson. Funny, two really funny, really quick people. And I tell you, if they would be like my favorite morning show, you know, if they were on the radio right now, because I think they're that funny and they're that perceptive. They do a lot of, you know, social commentary, but extremely everyman. And both of them are just a couple of smartasses. And we talked with them about, we talked to them last week about the usual stuff. See, what we get into on the show has a lot to do with background, family, and, you know, I mean, just how fucking comedy's created. Tomorrow, I with Will Sasso and with these guys, I really want to get into how they trained, you know. And I like hearing about that, and I hope you guys find that interesting. How they sharpened their skills, you know, what school of comedy, if you want to call it that, they you know, graduated from. Not just in terms of improv, but who are the teachers? You know, we've heard the name Del Close a lot over the last couple of weeks. It was originally brought up by Dave Koechner, and Del Close was his teacher. Amy Poehler's teacher, Adam McKay's teacher. I mean, a lot of people that graduated from the improv scene in Chicago, whether it was Second City or UCB or Improv Olympics, which is, I'd never heard of these guys, and they're, I think they have an LA branch now. So, you know, if I'm completely honest with myself, which I usually am not, I really wished I would have stuck with acting and improv, which is what I was sort of dabbling in the 80s, early 80s. But I instead made this decision. It was a very conscious decision. And it was the following decision. I said, you know what? I got into radio, man, because I knew I would be great at it. So why am I giving up on it? I'm not going to give up on this until I fucking crack through it. So that's what got me to return to radio and to return and to give it everything that I had and to push on through. And I did, but it, it took the better part of my professional life to do it because I was such a, you know, I don't know, kind of vacillating in my ideas and how I wanted to do things. So nonetheless, that's why I stuck with radio. At least I know that I made a decision that was, you know, it was based on, I think, sound thinking. And it was me basically saying, no, you know, you just don't throw something away because you're bored or because you're not quite cutting through, man. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know you have the talent to be tops in radio broadcasting. So you're not going to give up on that. You're going to keep doing it until you do that. So I did, and or I think I did to my satisfaction anyway. And but I missed out on a lot, man. And I got to tell you, when I listen to the guys, they're talking about going to Chicago, running into each other, teaming up with each other, forming theaters, forming acting troupes, and creating that way. Man, I missed out on a lot, you know, because there just isn't anything like that in radio. Radio's cutthroat, man. Nobody, there's no groups of people getting together and creating really great art. Nobody gives a shit, you know? I mean, the only thing in radio that matters is the bottom line, is how much money your show's making. What are the ratings? They don't care. There's no apparatus in radio that fosters talent or the art. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you know. And to say that you should start one, like somebody might say to me, why not start one? But it's kind of a ridiculous thing. I mean, it's almost a joke because the people that run radio would probably say, yes, that sounds very good. But they know in their heart of hearts they don't give a shit about any of that stuff. All they care about is making sure they're hitting the bottom line because they're going to sell the company later anyway, if not tomorrow. They're hoping that they get out of the whole thing with their ass intact and maybe a little bit of a golden parachute, maybe some kind of a payout. The last thing on their mind is creating great radio. That's what's happened to radio. If people ask me, you know, I tell them, I said, the last thing on their mind is doing anything having to do with really great radio. They are looking to recoup tens of millions of dollars, you know, from being leveraged to the fucking, you know, eyeballs on buying all these radio stations so they could control the industry and do what with it? Fuck it up. You know, I got a series of questions from a young man, very nice guy, from Jacobs Media. He had emailed us. He said, could we ask Phil or whatever, could we interview him? It'll be real easy. We'll send the questions. And I said, yeah, okay. Well, the questions that he sent me were, and again, I'm not criticizing because I understand that I think there's probably just a feature they do there with their newsletter or whatever called, you know, probably just, you know, today's radio personality spotlight, something like that. But the questions were very, I could tell that there wasn't really a whole lot of thought put into them. It made me sad to read them. I got depressed reading these things, and they were totally irrelevant. And then, of course, at the end of the entire thought process was the following thing. What am I doing answering questions about radio? I haven't been in radio in a long time. So I'll stop talking here because we do have other shit we got to do. Sorry. Jeez, man, the fucking time flew. Time flies when you're having fun, man. You know. What do we got here?
Downtown area, the flat sound of and the crash draft we're having right now. Tell you, let's get that
testing. 1, 2, test. Hey man, what? Okay, good. I thought I had a gate thing going on here. All right, we're ready to do this goddamn thing, huh?
All right.
And here we go, man. Let me see something here. Oh, you know what? I didn't do this. Going to do I'm actually just you guys want to see what I'm doing here? I'm just putting some notes together here. Good. And thank you very much, folks. I cut out a whole lot of, I must have cut out about 5 minutes worth of stuff, so I don't have to go right now, because I'm going to be cutting a lot of shit out of the, audio pre-show, because there was all kinds of dead air for those of you listening to the audio only. So I think probably what I could do is Phil could talk about the, Phil... David Hall calls. And I think David...
excuse me.
What the fuck is Harvey? Testing.
Yeah, this is, I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you, there's an awful lot that's happening right here in the downtown area. And I've given that testing. Testing.
All right. I think I'm ready to go, man.
Margaret Gray here, and this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be hearing from Phil today. Oh, we have a very interesting debate, Robert. Is that right?
Yeah, my aunt's going to call in, man. She's going to debate Larry Grover.
Your aunt is going to debate Larry Grover? Boy, that ought to be a hot one, man. Grover, you talk about a brain-dead idiot. Your aunt is going to... Hoo-hoo!
All right, here we go, man.